The U.S. Supreme Court resisted taking up the gun control issue today. It decided not to rule in a case out of Connecticut. In a moment, we will see why. Meanwhile, the Senate is going to vote on four gun bills today, a week after the mass shooting in Orlando. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced the votes as a condition to end Connecticut Democratic Senator Chris Murphy's filibuster last week. And debates of the issue will apparently be heard in both the Senate and at least in the corridors of the House. Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins me now. So the debate in the Senate, this will be a precursor to passage or to failure?
Well, the four bills that are going to be debated today and voted on this evening, John, precursor to failure, at least on policy grounds. There's no doubt about that. I'm comfortable telling you that these four different gun bills in the aftermath of the Orlando shooting are going to fail. That doesn't make the debate useless. And I'm also going to tell you about a legitimate potential compromise between Republicans and Democrats that is brewing behind the scenes that could see the light of day within a day or two. So we'll get to that. Today, John, four bills, as you said, up for the vote in the Senate, keeping people on the FBI terror watch list from buying guns. This is a Dianne Feinstein proposal. It would keep people who have been on that list from buying weapons because the system would ping the background check system. They would be denied sales of guns under that new law. There's also going to be a vote to expand universal background checks, that old bill, you're familiar with it, to make the background check law apply to gun shows, close that so-called gun show loophole. There's a couple of Republican amendments as well. John Cornyn, the Republican whip, has a bill that would bar people on the FBI watch list from purchasing guns if law enforcement can convince a judge within 3 days that there's probable cause to keep that person from buying a gun. One of the controversies here is that it's really easy to get on an FBI watch list, and that the legal standard is a lot lower than the one that you would need to deny someone their constitutional right under the Second Amendment to buy a gun. So law enforcement under the Cornyn proposal would have to show probable cause. The NRA backs that proposal, by the way, so Cornyn is sitting well with Republicans on that one. Not a lot of Democrats support it. And then a fourth bill from Chuck Grassley that would improve the notification of the FBI if someone does try to buy a gun so that they can step up their law enforcement efforts. Now, I did say that all four of these are likely to fail, but I talked to Chris Murphy, who staged that filibuster that you mentioned, John, and he says, no, it's all been worth it.
If we didn't have a vote scheduled on the Feinstein proposal, I don't think that we would have people scurrying around trying to find potential compromises. So I see this all as positive.
Is Murphy saying that people on the House side are scurrying around trying to find potential compromises?
No, he's saying that people in the Senate side are trying to do that. Murphy is also saying that, look, these changes don't happen overnight. There's a tradition in this country, John, after every mass shooting we've seen over the last couple of years. The Senate debates, the Senate holds a vote, that vote fails. You are right back where you started. Murphy's point here is that if you peel a couple of Republicans over to his side, if you move people off of their positions, especially in votes that are near elections, that that's how policy eventually gets changed, especially on a divisive, polarizing issue like guns. But you did ask about the people scurrying around to make the compromises, and there is one that's being cobbled together behind the scenes that's also going to be introduced later on today. Republican moderate senator from Maine, Susan Collins, has been talking to a list of Republicans and Democrats, and she has a compromise position here. She says, don't use the FBI watch list, which is really easy to get on without probable cause. Let's use a narrower list, the no-fly list, the ones where you actually have to probably be, in most cases, under suspicion to be on there. You can use that list to deny people the right to buy a gun under the Collins bill. Not only that, if you're denied a right to buy a gun, you can go to a judge and appeal it in court. If you win that appeal, you get your legal fees refunded by the government. It also has what's called a look-back provision. It lets the FBI look back 5 years to anyone who was on the list, even if they're not anymore, and potentially deny them the sale of a gun under certain circumstances. Now, that would have applied in this case to Omar Mateen, who was under FBI scrutiny, of course, but wasn't at the time when he tried to buy his gun, and that is controversial. Now, I talked to Susan Collins about what she's trying to do here, given the fact that those other four votes that we talked about, John, are probably going to fail tonight.
Rather than doing Groundhog Day, I think it's time for a new approach and a more targeted one. And that's what we've been working hard all week to try to put together.
So is she anticipating a positive vote on that compromise?
unclear, except that it's likely to be taken more seriously than the other four votes that we've talked about because of Groundhog Day. They've been voted on before, and they've been voted down, which is why I'm so comfortable telling you that they're going to fail tonight. Collins is saying, look, we can actually adjust some of the details here. We can give maybe political cover to people who are nervous about voting against their party orthodoxy so close to an election, and maybe let's give it a shot, people, and show... at least show people that we might be able to legislate here. That's her hope.
After a weekend of discussion of, you know, F-bombs on stage and on T-shirts in the Trump campaign, the Trump campaign director, although many people say that Trump is his own campaign director, Corey Lewandowski, is out. What do you think is behind all this? And is he just throwing up his hands, or did he do something wrong?
No. Well, the reporting from the New York Times and others on this is not that Corey Lewandowski threw up his hands, but that the boss said, as is a cliche, your employment here is hereby terminated. That's what Donald Trump famously says, right? You're fired.
Yeah.
And the reporting also indicates that there were members of Trump's family that wanted Lewandowski out. Look, here's the reality of the Trump campaign. They are trailing in every single poll. Donors are nervous. Donald Trump is not raising the amount of money that he needs to raise. Relationships with lawmakers are strained. Even lawmakers who have endorsed him are avoiding media contacts because they don't want to endorse his statements. Now, it is June, and Donald Trump needs to shift this entire ship drastically, and the general election is here. Campaign shakeups are not unusual, John. It's not uncommon for a campaign manager or a communications director to go at this stage of the campaign. But the Trump campaign right now is in dire circumstances. Whether or not this move prevents Trump from being impulsive in his statements and on Twitter, the things that get him in trouble with the electorate and with his donors, I think remains to be seen.
And other campaigns didn't have the anybody but Trump or vote your conscience, delegates be free movements that are going on right now.
No, they certainly didn't. No other campaign within memory has had the level of opposition from within its own party and sort of the discord among erstwhile supporters that the Trump campaign is experiencing.
Cracks in the GOP, we've seen them all along, but this could be serious. Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.